Handel's Messiah is often called the epitome of the gospel message. Well, the passage that Terry read is also the epitome of the gospel message, and it's about the two advents of Christ. And I've sort of put these together in this message. The advent of Jesus Christ is nothing less than revolutionary for the human race. It is a revolutionary thing, both the first and the second advent. Advent marks the beginning of a new human destiny. That's how cataclysmic it is. That's how fantastic it is. The first advent brought God to us. The second advent will bring us to God. It's this awesome, this adventure that we're on surrounding the two advents. Now, my message is entitled The Human Meaning of Christmas. The Human Meaning of Christmas. Christmas gave us a fully human Savior whose identity is the God who made us, the Incarnation. And what does this mean? Well, it meant a new companion for the human journey. A new companion for the human journey. I just want to reread quickly the first verses of this passage. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In the Garden of Eden, God was a walking and talking companion for the journey that was about to begin for humanity. God was a walking and talking companion. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they fell, they lost that divine presence, that physical divine presence of God there with them in the garden. And I think that humanity continues to long for that presence of God. And we often hear it in some psalms, and one of those is, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. It's a longing in the human heart. And a familiar passage that we often read at Christmas time, it tells of Joseph's dream, and that convinced him that he was to take Mary as his wife. Now, she was already pregnant, and this really just made a catastrophe in his mind. You know, how is this going to work? This can't work at all. And yet this dream came, and in this dream it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The first Noel that we sing so often, the first Noel gave us this divine companion that humanity longs for. The presence of Emmanuel, God with us, was the end of humanity's cosmic loneliness. Loneliness is the plight of a world where sin has alienated us from our Maker and from one another. Christmas has a tremendous human meaning for our humanity, because it says God is with us. Late in time, behold him come, offspring from the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead sees, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Christmas brought us a new companion for the human journey. It also brought us a new champion for the human condition. Now, what is the human condition? Well, the human condition has some positive aspects to it that we don't often talk about. Whenever people describe the human condition, they're always talking about the drawbacks. And that's basically what we are going to talk about a little bit. The physical dimension. The physical dimension of our drawbacks. Well, there's weariness. There's disability. There's pain. There's disease and decay, and there's death, finally. The emotional dimension shows that there is fear, there's sorrow, there's regret, there's disappointment, there's anger, and sometimes there's resentment in our emotional dimension. In the spiritual dimension, there's guilt, there's an emptiness, there is a lostness, and a relationship gap. And this relationship gap is between us and our Maker, in whose image we are made, and from whose image we have our true humanity and our real purpose, our real meaning in life. The original human condition back in the paradise of Eden became what it is today because of man's sin, man's falling into this devastating thing of sin. Now the remedy for that. The remedy for that, which is now a deadly condition, the human condition now is a deadly condition, the remedy for that deadly condition now was foreshadowed on the very day the fall happened, when God slew animals, took their skins, and symbolically covered over the sin of Adam and Eve with those skins, predicting what would come, foreshadowing what would come. Because without the shedding of blood, it says in Hebrews, there is no forgiveness. That word forgiveness in the King James and in the actual Greek is sending away. Because God did not want to just cover over the sins. He really wanted to send them away. And that's what was predicted. And the shedding of Christ's blood. That was the real sacrifice that was awaited. Foreshadowing the real sacrifice, it was for a human substitute. There had to be a human substitute. And not just any human substitute, but one that could touch the whole human race in the same way that Adam's sin had touched the whole human race. And that is why Jesus is called the second Adam. That sacrifice that was long awaited was the babe in the Bethlehem manger. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in the same way death came to all men because all sinned. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if so many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? One person brought it in, another person takes it out. And Jesus is that one sacrifice awaited. The human meaning of Christmas can never be disassociated from the cross of Calvary. You can never divide it because that was the purpose. This is the reason for the first advent. The purpose for God's Son to become human, to fulfill the needed human sacrifice for the remission of sins and for the restoration of the human condition. And actually beyond that, because now we are joined to the God of the Trinity, God of the universe. And being found in fashion as a man, appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, as the scripture says here. Give him the name Jesus. That's what the angel told Joseph, because he will save his people from their sins. Never forget the meaning of the name Jesus. It means Jehovah saves, Jehovah heals, Jehovah delivers. We could say with that, Jehovah restores. And know of all the names that could have been chosen on the face of the earth, on the face of the planet, in the history of names, this was the name chosen because it perfectly describes Jesus. It perfectly describes the Son of God incarnate. Jesus came as our champion to save lost humanity, to restore the fallen human nature and human condition. And we hear this in a song that is actually, I've never heard it sung. It's back in hymn book somewhere. It's actually written in 1958. It just never caught on. Maybe the melody, but the words are wonderful. George Sweeting wrote it. A hymn that says, God incarnate, Jesus came, sinful mankind to reclaim. born to save us from our sins, born to give us life within. God incarnate, Jesus died on the cross, was crucified, paid the sin debt so that we could be pardoned full and free. God incarnate, Christ arose, conquered death and all our foes, banished all our fear and dread, gave us peace and hope instead. Advent marks the beginning of a new human destiny. In Christ rising and in his returning to heaven and in his coming back again, now we await a new commander for human destiny, for the human future, the future of humanity. The first Advent initiated God's kingdom. It did. It started the kingdom of God here on the earth, but only in the hearts of those who believed in and followed Jesus as their Lord. Believers already owned the Lord Jesus Christ as the new commander, our new commander. But someday, humanity itself in the resurrected and glorified state will know the fullness of God's kingdom and its universal and eternal impact on not only humanity, but everything connected with this physical universe. Because of what he did. Because of what Jesus accomplished. He accomplished it at his first advent. It felt almost like he made the down payment. Now it's time for him to come and really reflect on what he did. It says here again in verse 9 through 11, God exalted him because of what he did while he was here on the earth. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Someday it will happen. That is the future destiny of all in heaven and on earth, to bow before Christ the King. Now angels, back in that first Christmas, they predicted something. They said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now right now, that promised peace is resident, it indwells the hearts of believers who have trusted in Christ. But it's still, we trust within a world that is still hostile to peace. We have never been without war. There's war all over this earth right now. And there's conflict all over the place, politically, in this planet. And it's always been that way. And it continues to be that way up till today. Jesus told us, I have told you these things, all that he's been saying before, so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, this passage that was read, it talks about and it says that ultimately, all enemies of peace, will actually someday have to kneel before the one who defeated sin's power at the cross. They will have to kneel. And this is what we have to say. Because of that, this is what we can say about the fulfillment of what the angel predicted. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet Bard foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendor flame, and the whole world give back the song which now the angel sings. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. As we were singing that song, bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, both peasant and king, to own him. The king of kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Advent marks the beginning of a new human destiny. Let's celebrate it. That's what it's all about. Let's celebrate it. And let's make sure by faith that we are a part of it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for this beautiful passage that Really, it is the epitome of the gospel message. It puts both the first and the second advent together. And I know, Lord, that I have thrown around these verses some Christmas carols and some other passages that talk about Christmas. Lord, we want to, this Christmas, have our minds fixed upon you and your coming. And Lord, remember that you are coming again to fulfill everything that your lordship and your kingship means, not only in our hearts now, but for the whole physical universe, heaven and earth, in a new creation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.